I just want to share this with you. It's important, and I shared in the classroom tonight, but it's, you know how important it is to create responsibility for communication. Lots of times we think that it's the speaker's responsibility to communicate from this side. Whenever there's communication happening, there's 50-50. Communication is 50-50, meaning she's responsible to communicate this way, but we're also responsible to communicate this way. And I'll tell you why. Because what happens in that moment is honor is either present or it's not present. And if honor is present, Jesus says something about honor. He said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And then he followed it up and he said he could do no mighty works there. Why? Not because their faith was attached to their honor. And so I just want to challenge us tonight to be loaded with honor, to create an atmosphere of faith that makes the impossible possible tonight. Right? That makes the stuff like... He said, I couldn't do any mighty works there because I wasn't honored. But had I been honored, then people's faith would have changed the atmosphere, and the atmosphere would have released the supernatural. And so tonight, let's release the supernatural. Do something with me tonight. Stand on your feet and make welcome and honor Pastor Cynthia Smallwood as she comes to deliver the word tonight. We're going to create an atmosphere of the supernatural.
Amen. So are you glad to be in the house tonight? Amen. So I'm like David, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. And as Pastor Troy indicated, that we are creating a environment of revival, a culture of revival. And tonight I'm going to talk to you a little bit about how we can further create that. In terms of revival. And I know that many of us have been waiting for the moment when revival will come. And we all are responsible for the revival, the personal revival in our lives, and the revival that we want to see come to our cities, to our states, and to the nation. And how many would agree with me tonight that we here in America, we need to be revived? Yes, amen. And so when we come to understand revival and how revival transpires in our lives, then we can take hold of what our responsibility is about in regards to revival. So if you have your Bibles with you tonight, go with me to, we're going to talk a little bit about the prodigal son. So in Luke 15, and starting at verse 11, and if you're all with me, say amen. Okay. And let me start reading here, and you will find it. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that have fallen to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him, and when he had came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants. And he rose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. And he was lost and now was found. And they began to do merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard the music and dancing, and he came, called one of the servants, and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf, because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in, and therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I for any time thy commandment, and yet never gavest me a kid, that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son come, which thou have devoured thy living with harlots, and has killed for him the fatted calf. And he said to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. And it was meet that they should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, was lost, but now is found. And so we're going to focus on these verses, Luke 15, 18, and 19. Where he says, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and earth, and now no more am I worthy to be your son, but make me as one of those hired servants. And when we think about the prodigal son, most of the time we're looking at the analogy as its application is to restoration of the lost. But tonight we're going to talk about sonship and how the prodigal son did not see the value in his sonship. He had actually forgotten that he was really a son. And a quote here that I have from Frederick von Schiller, and he says, it is not flesh and blood, but the heart that makes us fathers and sons. And when we focus further into the scripture, I just want you to hear what the father's reply is. As a son is thinking that I'm no longer worthy to be a son, but here is what the father said. And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and blessed him. And the son said unto him again here, now listen to the son, I've sinned against heaven, and I'm not worthy to be your son. But that's not what the father was seeing. The father saw him still as the son. And so the father then made merry because his son had come back. And the title of my message tonight is The Synergy of Love in My Father's House. It is the ethos of revival. And as we will see that when we acknowledge and understand the love of the father for us, it won't keep us from the Father. We will go unto the Father. And as the Father shows us things and demonstrates his love for us, then we're able to move even deeper into the things of the kingdom. In Luke 15, the son did not realize his relationship as a son. He had forgotten his position. He forgot that he was designated as a son and that what he had done was no reflection on his sonship. But there are times that we will let barriers come into our lives that separate us from knowing that we are sons. And so that relationship that the son was seeing, he thought that his relationship with his father was contingent on his behavior. But the father was demonstrating that you're a son, and it's pure and simple. You are my son. So when we look further into determining what the word son means, in various places in the Bible, there's a different definition for son. And in this particular definition, The Greek meaning can mean son, but it also can refer to the children of God, meaning sons of God. Sons of God being male and female. And so it's important for us to acknowledge our sonship. And as we look further into this parable, it is definitely a redemptive story. But essentially, it focused on the grace of the Father and the restoration of the Son to his rightful place. It also conveys thoroughly self-identity and the self-imposed status of the prodigal son, because the prodigal son had even reverted himself to being less than a hired servant. But the Father acknowledged that you are still royal. You are in my household. And so he did not relate himself to the son, the text never conveys that the father disinherited the son or that the son was disowned by the father. So as far as we know, within the text of the scripture, the son could have still received an inheritance from his father, even though he had already squandered away the first inheritance. But the scripture does not explicitly say that he never inherited again. And so as we look, nevertheless, the prodigal son saw himself disempowered. He saw himself dispossessed. And he saw himself displaced out of the household of the father. And there are times that when we are walking in the relationship that we have with God, when we fully come to recognize our sonship, that we have the full inheritance, as the scripture indicate, that we are inheritors with Christ, that we are not disempowered, no matter what the circumstances are. We are not disowned, but we are not, and we are not displaced. We are inside the Father's kingdom. And so inwardly, the son felt that the father's monarchy was no longer available to him. If that wasn't so, then in the scripture, he would not have adjoined himself to a person of the other country. If he felt that he still was his father's son, he would have turned immediately and gone back to his father. But he did not. He felt disgraced. And so he did not go back. And so, therefore, the prodigal son found himself in a condition of degradation. He was more defining with his circumstances than he was defining with what the monarchy or the household of his father. Because evidently his father was a wealthy man because he divided the spoil and was able to continue his household. The son being forced into slavery. And you say, well, how was he forced into slavery? Well, he was with the swine. And in the history, for a Hebrew to touch a pig was very disgraceful, very dishonoring. It was less than a servant. So he, in his own mind, had developed this paradigm that he was less than a servant. He was no longer a son. So he neglected to understand his position, and nor did he comprehend the love, the compassion of the father. And the scripture says that immediately when the father saw him, he had compassion. He had love. The love that he had for his son reunited the son back into the household. So as we go forth, then we can just ask, well, then if he truly believed that he was a son, he would have exercised his position. How many times have you heard parents that say that children have gone outside of their household? They've left, but they've called in an emergency, Mom, Dad, I need you. And Mom and Dad, what do? We help our children. And so he did not feel that he could go there because he was shamed. He was dishonored. Evidently, because the older brother said, well, look what he's done. He's cast away all of that. But the father says, no, this is my kingdom. This is my household. And I am going to rejoin my son to this household. And every benefit that was available to him, it was always available to him. Not just toward the end when the father said, come back, because he repented. It was always available to him. In Luke 15:17, the scripture says, but he came to himself. He had a revelation that once he was at home, that he was in the Father's kingdom. He no longer thought as a slave. He made merry. He was then entertaining, and he was not an hired servant. The Lord of the house, his father, commanded, bring him a ring. Bring him shoes. Bring him the best robe. Because to be clothed and without shoes indicated poverty. So the father brought the best robe. The father brought forth the best shoes. And then he put a ring that designated, we are in covenant. We are in covenant. Covenant cannot be broken. And so the son did not recognize, my covenant with the Father is not broken. When we recognize that our covenant with the Father is everlasting, it is sealed in the blood of the Son of the living God, and it is never, ever broken. And so, therefore, we're no longer slaves. This is what Galatians 4:7 says. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. If a son, then you are heirs of God through Christ Jesus. So whatever belongs to Jesus belongs to us as we are in Christ. So everything that heaven has to offer belongs to us. In the kingdom, in the Father's household, the son has the right to exercise and to use everything in the father's household that is at their disposal. We have a right as the sons of God to use everything that is in our father's kingdom to manifest it here on earth, to manifest it in our lives, to manifest it in our communities, to manifest it in our states and our nations. But yet and still, we forget that we are sons of God, because the thing that we do is how the media has trained us. We talk about it instead of taking action. See, when the son didn't take action, he was relegated to be with the swine. He was relegated to be less than a servant. He was a slave. But when he came to himself and said, my father has all, but I'm going to go to my father and ask him if I could be a hired servant. He still hadn't recognized that I can go back to my father and be a son, and everything that my father owns becomes mine. And that's what Jesus is declaring as we are sole heirs with him. We are joint heirs with him. We are sons or children of God, as it is stated. So when we look back into the biblical history, there were delegated tribes. Tribes formed families, and those who belonged to the clan knew that they had to work for the common interest of the nation or the kingdom or the community. As the community of God, we are nations of priests and kings, and therefore we work as sons of God for the benefit of the kingdom, for the kingdom of God. So the father is the patriarch and the protector. The sons represent the children who possess a special inheritance. And it signifies that we have a special relationship with the father. But Romans 8:16-17 says, for the spirit himself bears witness in our spirits that we are children of God. And if children, then we are heirs. And if heirs of God, we are joint heirs with Christ. So we have the authority, as our father is king of all kings and lord of all lords, to begin to dispossess other nations. other nations of the opposite kingdom, of the kingdom of darkness. So what do we inherit? We inherit the kingdom of God, and it is called Besiheha. And this is the kingdom. It's a sphere of influence. It is not, the kingdom of God is not meat or drink. As the scripture says, the kingdom of God operates in a powerful influence. The kingdom of God is everywhere, at every time, at every moment. So the kingdom of God, we can begin to operate in the kingdom of God. Christians, we have become, according to Peter, the royal priesthood of God's kingdom. And now through Christ, the kingdom and priest of our Lord, we are, and we can begin to display that in our communities, in our workplaces, in the marketplace. So it says also in Revelations 1:6, He has made us kings, priests unto God his Father, and to him glory and dominion forever and ever. So if Christ has died and risen again to give us the privilege to be called sons of God, then we should act as if we're sons of God. The church of God in this day and hour must arise and declare to the nations that Jesus is the Lord. He's the Lord of all. He's the King of kings, and he's the most powerful of all gods. He is the God of all gods, because the gods of wood, hay, and stubble, and stone cannot speak. But our God is a living God. He speaks, he moves, and he operates in his kingdom. And so as we have the kingdom's influence in us, we can affect and change our world. But first of all, we have to realize, as sons, we have fathers. We have spiritual fathers. And these spiritual fathers operate in the kingdom under the Father's influence and his spiritual authority. And so as God places us, for instance, he placed us here at Church on the North Coast. Our spiritual father and mother is Apostles Lewis and Tina Caton. Through them, God sends forth a divine mandate for this nation here at CNC to move forth and demonstrate the kingdom of God wherever we are. It doesn't matter where we are. We're supposed to demonstrate the kingdom of God. And so the anointing that God deposits in them as spiritual mothers and fathers who cover us, that same anointing comes upon our lives. The revival fire that is in them, God wants to disseminate to us. But we have to line ourselves up and say, I'm a son of the Most High God. And Lord, I'm ready to receive the deposit in this time, in this hour that you have for us. And so when we talk about the kingdom of God, and in the kingdom of God, there's peace, there's prosperity, there's forgiveness, there is power, there is love, there is righteousness, the operation of miracles, and there is hope. So we, as sons of God, need to disseminate the kingdom of God to the earth. For God is looking for those who will go. And he says, who will go for us? And we say, I will, Lord, but with hesitation. I will, Lord, but with fear. I will, Lord, because I'm a son of God. And if we believe that God is the Father, and Jesus has been given all of the authority delegated to him by the Father, and Jesus declared that he has given that authority to us, then as sons of God, should we not be manifesting it in our communities? Are we able to change the face of Lorain County with the Holy Spirit working through us? Are we able to bring hope to a hopeless generation? Are we able to bring hope to and bring life to say that, yes, this gospel is real. The kingdom of God is real. You know, there is more statistically individuals who are leaving the ministry and who are becoming really apostate. They are becoming individuals who say, I'm agnostic. I really don't know if there's a God or if there is not a God. They're leaving the ministry after having tasted and seen that he is good. They're leaving. Why are people leaving the fold? Because they're abdicating their sonship. We have not allowed God to operate in our lives with his power and authority for us to touch and change the environment, touch and change the circumstances of where we live. Our communities should not be destitute because the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that operates in us. So if we are sons of God, can we not move in demonstration and the power of the kingdom of God? Because individuals are saying that this gospel really is powerless, and it's only the weak who seek to become Christians. But we really do have a message to tell that no, this kingdom comes with power. It comes with demonstration. And so as we move forth in 2015, we are going to allow the Lord to display in us that we are the sons of God. For as Romans 8:19 says, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God, that we need to go forth and exemplify the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. For Jesus said he came to set the captive free. He came to open up prison doors. And we still need to manifest those things and bring forth the kingdom in this day and time. And so Luke 10:8-10 said this, wherever you go into a town and the people welcome you, eat whatever they serve you, heal the sick there, and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. But wherever you go into a town and people don't welcome you, go into the streets and say what? The kingdom of God is still near you. It is, but you shake the dust off your feet. We don't have to quibble and quarrel with people about whether or not the kingdom of God is here. When individuals are in our path and God places people in our path, we should say to them, the kingdom of God is nigh you. As they come to us, they are expressing all of the things that are going wrong in their lives. Should we just take the sob story and say, well, I'm sorry? Or should we reach out and say, the kingdom of God is nigh you. Let me pray for you. The kingdom of God will be manifested in your very midst. But you know why we don't? Because we have not taken fully our sonship. We have abdicated our sonship to say, well, you know, maybe God, we say we don't say this, but maybe God did that then, but he's not doing it now. No, sisters and brothers, the kingdom of God is nigh you. And Jesus said, when you see these things occurring, when you see the sick healed, the dead being raised, then the kingdom of God is near you. And the kingdom of God is near us. In Galatians 3:27, it says, you are sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you are baptized into Christ, you put on Christ, the first of many sons. So he's the first of many sons. And his government has come. His government is here. And we have the power and the ability to move into and manifest the kingdom of God. And this is what Paul Manwaring said about the kingdom of and the government of God. For the kingdom of God is the government of God. The government of God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So perfect in their loyalty to each other, so perfect in their honor for each other, so perfect in their understanding of the purpose of each other, so securely in the identity of each other that you can glance at the three and think you saw one. They are three in one, one in three, and their relationship is defined in absolute perfection. And we are the family of God. Jesus prayed in John 17, 20 through 23. And put those scriptures up for me, please. For John 17, he prayed that we would be in unity and one as the Father is one with him. So that we could then what? Manifest who he was to the world. And so, since they don't have that, I'm going to read it to you right very quickly here. So John 17, verse 20, let's start at verse 20. It says, neither I pray for these alone, for them also which shall believe in me through their word. And he was talking about how the disciples would bring forth the gospel, and we as believers who had not seen him would believe upon him. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. And that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. So he's saying that we would be one in as sons of God, unified together as a family to demonstrate his kingdom and to show the world that he was sent. And he says, in them, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and you have loved me as you also love them. And so as sons of God, in the family of God, we must begin to manifest the culture of heaven. For true children of God desire to cultivate the dynamics of heaven. We are not satisfied to be complacent. We, as sons of God, are not satisfied just to come in every service, hear a sermon, go back out, come back in the next week, hear a sermon. We, as sons of God, want to manifest the kingdom. We want God to use us. We say, Holy Spirit, use me. Yes, use me. And so he will. So as we manifest the dynamics of the culture of heaven, it is so that God can be glorified through his begotten Son. When we talk about culture, we're talking about ethnos, which means a nation or community. Would you agree with me that we are a community of believers? That we are a community of the sons of God? So we reflect the fundamental and the distinctive characteristics of God's kingdom. And so if we are, as sons of God, complacent, and we, as sons of God, act powerless, what message are we giving to the world about the kingdom of God? That it has no power and it's just full of historical stories? No, the kingdom of God still manifests in power as it always has. So God distinctly and purposely created families for his own purpose to reflect his love and to carry out his design for creation. So family units are built so that they are to manifest God, but they are important to God. He even extends, you look at the family structure, he extends the family structure to all creation. Even you look at the animal kingdom, they have families, they have groups, they have clubs, little cubs, and so they have a group, a formation. So the family bond is intrinsically connected to the revelation of God's fatherhood. We're all in the families, but intrinsically what we think about families is we think about just a nuclear family, mother, father, sister, and the children, not a community of sons and daughters of God. So when we don't see ourselves family and interconnected as sons and of God, children of God, we cannot manifest the love of God to the entire world the way we should. We don't then receive the covenantal rights of an heir, because we have excluded ourselves into believing that families are just involving our spouses and our children, but our families include the multitude of believers in the household of God. And so we have to show that we love, because God showed that he loved, that he absolutely loved the world. Because what did he do? he gave his only begotten son. So that, did he give his only begotten son for those who believed in him already? He gave his son for the world. And so as sons of God, he wants us to act as sons so that we can draw others to be sons of God. And so when we do that, and this is what Jesus said in John 14, 21. He says, he that loves me shall be loved by my Father. I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And Judas, the disciple, not talking about Judas Iscariot, asks Jesus, how are you going to manifest the kingdom to us? And he says, this is what Jesus, because only the Father will manifest himself to the Son. He will not manifest himself in power to us if we're not connected to him as sons. Jesus answered and said unto Judas, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him, and we will come to him, and we will make our abode with him. So the Father in heaven and Jesus comes to abide in us by the Holy Spirit. And then we have the kingdom of God in us, because Jesus said the kingdom of God is in you. It's in me. So the kingdom of God is in us. And so when we look at that declarative statement, the impetus and the foundation of revival comes out of relationship with the Father as a son. We're not going to be able to create that culture until we begin to operate as sons of God. Until we ask God, God, reveal your fatherhood to me. God, reveal my sonship and my connection to you. Lord, I don't want surface relationship with you anymore. Lord, I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper. I want to go deep as deep calls unto deep. So as God the Father has ordained the institution of the family as the basic unit of society, in the spiritual community, spiritual fathers operate in the kingdom to raise up sons and to propagate the family of God. And you can probably attest that I'm not saying sons and daughters, because I've given you the definition of sons being the children of God. So he's raising up sons so that we can propagate the family of Jesus Christ. We can draw those in that are around us, in your communities, your neighbor that you probably haven't talked to in a long time, to begin manifesting the kingdom of God to them. For those who are in the marketplace, begin to manifest the kingdom of God to them. For the family of God is the essential organism. It's a living construct of the life and the growth of the Church of Jesus Christ. So as sons of God, if we want to fill this place, we need to begin acting as sons of God. Who wants to come to a community of believers who appear to have no power, have no answer to help me understand who I am in Christ? So as we begin to further understand that spiritual fathers have been propagated, have been raised up through the works of the Holy Spirit and God's calling upon their lives to build a community of believers who go out and create other believers. And that's what we're doing. So revival is birthed in the heart of sons who desire to be in the presence of the Father. We cannot fake this. It has to be genuine desire to want to be in God's presence. As I have been reading and started reading again, the revivals of the past, and to look at how the people hungered. There were people that I was reading in the Welsh revival that had to have God, absolutely had to have God. They, when the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, they wanted God so much that they just didn't know what to do with themselves, that they were just praying, I got to have God. I have to have more. And as you know, Pastor was saying, more, we want more, we do want more. So the power of the Holy Ghost visited those people, and there was a move of God, and things happened. But as sons of God in this dispensation, we cannot take a move of God when the Holy Spirit touches us and then make a shrine out of it. We have to go forth and bring it to the nations of the world, bring that revelation, bring that touch from heaven to them so that they may be free and they may be able to experience the Father, the glory of the Father. So soon as the prodigal son realized the importance of his relationship with the Father and the importance of his connection with the Father, he came to himself and he said, I'm going home to my Father. Here in Church on the North Coast, we have been given awesome gifts in the persons of Pastor Lewis and Tina Kayetson. And as we work forth in 2005 and in the years to come, there are awesome things that God wants to do for our community. We just have to position ourselves so that we understand the spiritual implications of when we do not operate as sons, that there are many lives who will be standing in the balance. There are individuals who will come across your path, and the Lord may want you to just pray for those people, and they can be healed just like that. Individuals through the revivals who had chronic conditions, in a matter of moments, they were healed. And healing, yes, God can do healing any kind of way he wants to do it. But I am a firm believer that if the scripture says that Jesus went about healing everybody who was sick and oppressed of the evil one, he can still do it today. And he will do it today. You know, each time that there was a revival that came forward, it came because of the passion, the burning inside of the sons of God, of the children of God who wanted to say, Father, I have to be in your presence. Father, I have to have more of you. Father, you have to reveal more of yourself to me. And so he did. I love you, God. And as we really, really, really fall in love with the Lord Jesus, what the scripture said, he said, I will manifest myself to you. And as you love me, the Father will love you. And guess what? The Father's going to come too. So we say, come, Holy Spirit, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at the attributes of spiritual sons, this is what God is saying. As you become my son, because I've given all that I have, I've given my beloved son. It's all that you need. He's all that we need to enter into this relationship with the Lord, the Father, God the Father. He says we are blessed sons of God. So when we are taught the word together, we don't forsake assembling one another together with one another. We find synergy within when we come together, because the Lord says we're two and three. Gather in my name, I will be in the midst. So that synergy, that iron sharpening iron, as we are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and as we go forth, just declaring, Lord, we need to see you. Where is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Lord, manifest yourself in Lorraine. Lord, show the people that you are still God. It can look dead if it want to. Just like the prodigal son's life looked like that it was just in ruins, the Father, his Father, brought forth redemption and resurrected his life out of the pig pen. And God can resurrect lives around here. He can resurrect cities. He can turn nations back on their ear. And we just ask God, as sons of God, Lord, we want to submit to your authority. We want to submit to your plan for the nations, not just for me, not just for you, but for the nations, God. Father, we want ourselves to become dwelling places for the Holy Spirit. We want this place here, this physical place, Father, to be inundated with your Spirit. That, Father, just like it was, Father, in the days of old, that it would be your glory in here, and we would not be able to enter because the glory of the Lord would fill this place. It can do that today if we operate as sons of God and then we come under our spiritual Father and we can rejoice and praise the Lord together. There is nothing that is most distasteful than a dead church. There is nothing most distasteful than when the Lord has done something to set you free that you cannot praise and worship the Lord. You can't give him a Shabbat or a hallelujah because you're worried about what somebody else is going to say. But the Lord set you free, just like the woman with the alabaster box. She didn't give a hoot who said anything. She was going to anoint the Savior's feet because he had shown such great love to her. What great love do we have that our friend would lay down his life for us? The Lord Jesus has laid down his life for us, and then he's handed us the kingdom. And we're just sitting back just saying, okay. No, let's manifest the kingdom of God. Let's walk fully into our sonship. Then let's dwell together. Let's share things in common. We are our brother's keeper. If our brothers are rejoicing, we rejoice. If our brothers are sad, then we are sad with our brothers. Let's be the family of God. Let's go forth. Let's fashion our behavior according to the Holy Spirit's leading. In this day and time, the Lord has said, it's time out for playing church. He is shaking everything that can be shaken. He is revealing everything that can be revealed because he said he will have him a bride without a spot or a wrinkle. He said to us, be holy as your God is holy. So he says, Father, as sons, we manifest your glory. We walk as you walk. We do what you do. We say what you say because we are sons of the living God. We are sons of the living God. And this is what Howard Hendricks said. You cannot impart what you don't possess. If you do not possess the power of the Holy Spirit because you have decided to stay in the outer court, and the Father's saying, son, you don't have to stay back in the pig pen. You don't have to stay back there. Come on into the Father's household. We are in the Father's household. This is such an awesome time to be a believer now in the kingdom of God. To be in a house that is operating as we hear the Spirit leading. So the Spirit is saying, go there, and we're saying, we're going. Because we understand that we want to know the Father's heart. We want to please the Father. He wants everyone to hear the gospel. Even though individuals are free will agents, he still desires that there will be none lost. We need to have the heart of the Father because we are our Father's son. Amen? Amen. So why don't you just stand to your feet? I want to just speak a blessing over you. Because you see, you guys are the Thursday night crowd. You really want to see the Father, and you want the Father to manifest his glory in your life. So, Father, tonight we've come to you, Lord. And, Lord, we acknowledge that we are your sons. We acknowledge, God, that we are in your household. We thank you, Father, for the spiritual father and mother that you have given us. They have demonstrated they are a man and a woman after your own heart. And that's what we want, Father. We want to be after your own heart. Lord, we make covenant with you tonight that we're not going to worry about the things that are around us, God. For as a father, you will take care of those things, Lord. We loose our lips, God, to begin to declare the things that you speak in your kingdom. We'll begin to do, Lord God, what we see you do, Lord. And we say, take us deeper. We want to go deeper, Father. We want to know your heart, God. We do. And we bless you, Holy Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you have chosen us. And Lord, we are going to do the work while it is day. Because when night comes, no man can work. And Lord, we're not going to be afraid when the assignment comes. We're going to move as sons and daughters. We're going to do it, Father. We're going to finish, Lord God, what you commanded for us to do. For the nations are laying before us, God. And we thank you. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I open the altars to you right now to just worship and Go deeper into your relationship with God. Don't keep him at an arm's distance, because he is the lover of your soul. And he wants to love you and shower his goodness on you. He wants to show you the manifestation of his power. And he wants you to operate in his power so that you can manifest the kingdom in the earth today.
Oh, how great is your love. so deep, so wide. So pull me a little closer and take me a little deeper. I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. 'Cause love is so much stronger than anything I've tasted. I wanna know your heart. We wanna know your heart. Oh, reveal it. Oh, reveal it. We wanna know your heart. I wanna feel your heart. As you beat, my heart beats. Where it goes, where it trails, I'll go. Ooh, 'cause I've seen it and I've tasted it before. Make it new again, make it new again, make it new again, God. I'll make it new again.
Pastor Cynthia was sharing. I was thinking about family, because that's what we're looking at, the culture of family. And you know, when you look at a family, you can tell whose kids they are. You know, when you see babies, you see a baby, you say, ah, I know whose kid that is. Or you see, you know, little red hair or freckles or round face or whatever, I know whose kid that is. That's what we need to understand as children of God. 1 John chapter 3 verse 1 says, how great a love the Father has lavished upon us. And right, that love that he lavished upon us is Christ, right? And that we become children of God. And that's what I want us all to think about this week as we go, is you're a child. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. That's who I should look like. That's who I should sound like. That's whose characteristics I should manifest, right? And if I'm not, and many times I find myself, man, I'm looking like somebody else's kid, but I know whose kid I am. I'm a child of God, right? So let's go with that tonight as we dismiss, and remember whose kid you are, right? And make sure that everybody knows it. Make sure that when you're in the workplace, when you're in the store, when you're in the streets, when you're in the house of God, right? That they understand whose kids you are, because you look like them, because you sound like them, because you act like him, right? That's what we want to do. So be blessed this week. Thank you for coming out tonight. And on the way out, Johnny, you got an offering bag back there. If you've prepared your offering, please leave it. Thank you.